It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right. It's good to be back. We are, having a little bit of a cold front here in the great state of Arizona. And when I say cold front, just to put it in perspective, you know, it's 35, 40 degrees at 5 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, it'll be like 70 degrees. So it's not too bad, depending on where, you know, where you're from. That might seem like a spring morning, right? I know some folks are experiencing a real cold front. Temperatures dipping below zero and not getting much higher than about 30 degrees during the day. So, all I can say is I've been there, I've done that. I decided not to do it anymore, so I left, right? The great thing about living here is that, you know, we can always get up and move. We can change things. We are empowered to make a difference and to, just change whenever we need to. So when you get tired of the cold, I invite you to check out Arizona or Nevada or might be the kind of place you're looking for. Enough of that. Let's get this party started. Let's get our lunch on with today's guest, Nidia Monedes. Nidia Monedes is going to help us understand how to reach the Hispanic market. Nidia Monedes is a top-rated Spanish voiceover talent, international speaker, Hispanic marketing consultant, and author. She helps bridge the gap between clients and the booming Hispanic market through a package of Hispanic marketing solutions. Nidia Monedes, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you, Bert. Thank you for having me.
You bet. You bet. You know what? I'm excited to have you. I think that this sometimes is a market that is overlooked and people simply, don't know how to bridge that gap, right? I mean, they're confused. I know, like, for instance, one of the things that I know a lot of American companies, for lack of better terms, will try to do is they try to take what's working in the English market and just translate it to the Spanish market. And one of the things that comes to mind is things like coupons. And coupons, a lot of people don't understand, is a very American thing. I don't know if coupons are used that much in Europe, but I know that they're not used a lot in a lot of the Hispanic countries. And so coupons routinely don't do well with, you know, first generation Hispanics that are coming in. And so it's things like that really, really, makes it difficult to get into the Hispanic market, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And you mentioned something at the beginning that is very true. Many companies or marketers oversee this opportunity. They are not aware of this big opportunity that the Hispanic market is. And, you know, they are just leaving a lot of money on the table because it doesn't take much to invest in some translation, adaptation, and culturalization things here and there, and you can easily approach this huge market.
All right, so let's talk about this. Give us some reasons why we should target the Hispanic market, and give us your thoughts on this.
Okay. As I said, first of all, the Hispanic market is a big market. There is a big opportunity here. And just to throw you some numbers and so the audience have an idea of the size of this market, we are more than 56 million Hispanics only, you know, in the United States. And right. The buying power that we have is over 1.5 trillion, not billion, but trillion. So that's a lot of money. Yeah. It's over 1.5 trillion. So we do have money to spend, and we are very loyal customers. So whoever pay attention to us and market to us in culture and in language most likely are going to have, you know, our loyalty, and we'll be buying from these companies. And going back to your question about another reason why it's important to target us in the right way, in the Hispanic way, if you will,
right. Is
because that's what we want as consumers. That's what we want, you know, according to multiple surveys and research. That's something that we naturally feel attracted to when people target us in our own language and with cultural adaptations. We immediately, you know, feel this kind of a magnet towards these companies and products and services. It's also very cost efficient. Sorry.
I was going to say, and it only makes sense because, you know, I mean, look, if you are, let's say that you are visiting, an American, and now you're visiting, let's say, a place like South America or Mexico or wherever, and there's, let's say there's two restaurants in front of you. One has a sign that says, hey, we speak English, and the other restaurant doesn't have such a sign. You're automatically going to go to the restaurant that speaks your language because you want to have that connection. You know, it's easier to understand, and so it makes sense to use your words to have this cultural adaptation and to be able to speak the Spanish language for the Spanish consumers if you want to tap into, what is it, $1.5 trillion market.
Totally. You mentioned the opposite example, and it's very, very neat that you write up this because, you know, I'm always normally putting the example from the Hispanic here in the United States, but it's a very easy way to explain this for the general market with what you just said. You know, if you are 100% American and you don't speak Spanish and you go to South America, exactly, you see this sign at the restaurant, and you immediately feel this connection, and you more likely are going to feel more comfortable ordering in that restaurant, because if they have a signage in English, most likely they are going to have a bilingual menu. And nothing could be more frustrated than, you know, when ordering food in a different language that you don't have an idea what are you getting. No, if this is going to be sweet or spicy, or you want a chicken but they got you pork, you know. So, yeah, it's a very unique example, and it works exactly the same way here when targeting Hispanics.
Yeah. You know, the great thing about places like Arizona and Texas, let's see, who else, parts of California, is that there is that Hispanic influence, right? And you have...
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And it's not only those. I mean, Florida, right. New York, Chicago.
Chicago, that's right. Chicago now, New York, New Jersey, there's a lot of places that because they were a port of entry for many years, have those adaptations and know how to cater to the Hispanic market simply because they've had time to prepare for that. But there's still a lot of places that make a lot of mistakes, as we talked about, and they don't understand how big this market is. And I want to talk about something that you mentioned, and that is the loyalty factor. You know, there is a gentleman that he is also a Hispanic marketing consultant. And what he would do, he had a very interesting pitch. And he would say the Hispanic people are very easygoing, very loyal. They believe in making payments, and most of them make payments in cash. And that was the way he sold the Hispanic market. But everything he said was very true, is that these, you know, you had people who would come here and they are looking to make those connections, and they do stay for a long time. They do stay very loyal, and they don't switch brands as quickly as Americans do.
This guy is totally right. And here is a quick tip, you know, for your audience if they are considering targeting the Hispanic market. If you know, at the beginning, it requires some time, investment, and all these kind of things, but it's really worth it to do the effort and the expense, because exactly what you just said, as a loyal people that we are, over the time, you know, once we are happy with a brand, with a service, with a business, we could become kind of machine referrals.
Yes.
Probably for free, okay? Yeah, because this is the thing, as you said, another value that is very Hispanic is family, right? Family, friends, especially
yes.
family. And we like to gather together, you know, we get together for, we don't need an excuse. We are party people, so we are always finding, like, excuses to get together. And we tend to share among our family members what is going to be our next purchase or project. And we tend to request some kind of advice or recommendation, you know, for X or Y product or service. So, you know, even when we are talking about bigger investments like a house or a car, needless to say, we need to get, you know, the approval of our closest relatives. And yeah, if we find these brands or these products or companies, we tend to refer and recommend to our closest friends and family. So yeah, we are, once you know you gain us, we are very loyal, and you can count for sure that you'll be getting more and more Hispanic clients as a result of this natural referral system that we have.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, and it's so funny you should mention that. I have a very personal point or example, I should say. My neighbor is a dentist, and he served a Spanish speaking mission for his church, and so he learned how to speak Spanish, and so he opened up a dental practice, and word got out that he spoke Spanish. And so he said within the first 12 months, he went from having, a few clients, English-speaking clients. And he says, I had about 10 English-speaking clients and about 10 Hispanic-speaking clients. He says within 12 months, I had like 200 Spanish-speaking clients and 50 English-speaking clients, because they do become referral machines. It's a great example. And so he enjoys it because not only is his business growing, but he gets to practice Spanish. So to him, it was like double fun, because he's not only growing his business, he gets to practice the language. And you know, the other thing that that Hispanics are very fond of is bringing gifts over, right? So they will not only bring referrals, but you know, they know when his birthday is, and they bring him stuff, and they do all the stuff, and so he enjoys it. He brags about it all the time.
Yeah, we're very generous people, like overall, the majority of us, and gifting is another part of our culture. And what a best example that what you just said. And I do work with some dentists, and the thing that this particular guy was able to practice the Spanish and, you know, spoke the language, that's great. But many people feel intimidated because they are like, oh, I don't speak a word in Spanish, so why bother? But the thing is, you don't really have to. For instance, if you're a dentist or are in the, you know, a health field, you're a chiropractor or doctor or, you know, plastic surgeon, whatever, you don't really have to speak the language. It does help to know few words here and there, basically to break the ice when you're, you know, meeting the potential patients for the very first time. But something that I do advise to my clients definitely is to have at least someone in the staff who is totally bilingual, either the receptionist or the hygienist or the medical assistant, someone who is bilingual, because, you cannot go and, you know, create this marketing asset for the Hispanic market and having, you know, promoting everything like we hablamos español and all that, and then they show up and there is nobody who speaks their language. So even though you don't have to speak the language, but make sure to have someone bilingual as part of your staff. And that's a way to start.
Yes, and I think that's a very, very, what do you call it, smart tip there. You're right. You as the professional, as the owner of the business, whatever, you may not need to speak Spanish. Obviously, like you said, you know a few words. That's great for breaking the ice. It's good to have somebody on staff that's bilingual. And, you know, the because I think the Hispanic people are easygoing, you know, they will try to work with somebody because they're looking like everybody else, like all consumers. They have a problem. They want it solved. I have another friend of mine who is an attorney, does not speak any Spanish whatsoever, and for many years did not even have a bilingual assistant. But what he did is he hired somebody gave him some postcards in Spanish, and so he would communicate with his Spanish speaking clients by holding up a card. They would read the card and they could nod their head. They could, you know, they could fill out a form. They could do whatever.
Wow.
And that's how he built his Spanish business until he could find a bilingual legal assistant. You know, so if you want to do it, you can do it. You know, you can either make an excuse or you can make more sales, but you can't do both.
Totally. Wow. That's a clear example of, you know, in Mexico we say, and probably here too, it makes more the one who wants to than the one who is able. Right. So if, you know, where there is a will, there is a way. So, even amazing of these people that started, you know, creating or growing their business by just communicating through these postcards. That's very amazing.
And, you know, and the other thing, too, because I remember this, I grew up, I was born in Cuba. And so I learned Spanish a lot quicker than my parents did, and certainly, much faster than my grandparents ever did. And a lot of times, a Hispanic family will have a bilingual child who can be that interpreter, right? And they can explain things. So there's so many different ways of communicating, and I'm glad you brought that up, that you don't really need to know Spanish. Obviously, it's great if you do. It's great if you have a bilingual assistant. But there's certainly, back to what you were saying, if there's a will, there's a way.
Exactly. And that's so true that you just mentioned. Because even just for, you know, all the audience, keep in mind that even we'd rather get the message in our own language, many of us are totally bilingual. So perhaps it's just throwing the message in language and culture to get our attention. And once we show up or we get there, we most likely, many of us are going to be able to communicate in English. So you don't have to, you know, but yeah, or have a child or a cousin or a auntie or someone who can help us with the translation process, at least at the beginning of the relationship. But yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so, you know, we're talking about penetrating the 1.5 trillion dollar Hispanic market. Our guest today is Nidia Monedas, and so I want to talk about this a little bit more. We've been talking about how to communicate in the Spanish language, some of the things that might work around that if you don't know how to speak Spanish. I also want to talk about some other cultural adaptations besides just translation. We talked about in the very beginning how coupons is something that doesn't work for most of the at least the new generation Hispanics, or what do you call it, first generation Hispanics, because it's not something that is common in a lot of Hispanic countries. What other things should people be aware of? What other things should they maybe adapt to that we're not thinking of? Anything else come to mind?
There are several things. Well, and going back to the coupons that you mentioned,
yes.
I would say that even though it's pretty American, it is changing a little bit. It's changing,
okay.
Because, with people starting to be aware of this opportunity and starting to create these marketing materials also biculturally or in Spanish, people is starting to use them a little bit. But another tip for your audience, if they are considering doing this, some initiative to reach the Hispanic market, packaging, for example. When we're talking about products in the supermarket, packaging is something that if you do the packaging bilingual, that's something that we appreciate. I mean, you have this product, you are investing in the packaging already. It doesn't take much just to have the Hispanic version on the other side of the package or at the bottom or somewhere. Even it's like in a little square there, the Spanish version could help as well. We are, in general, a younger population. So we are very comfortable using electronic devices and very digital as well, because in average the general market is about 37 years old versus 28 years old for the Hispanic population. So keep in mind doing this, your social media or your digital marketing as well, because as the general market is younger, they are very, or the tendency is to be also tech savvy and digital oriented. But of course, without subestimating the value and the power of the print, because print always helps.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up. There are a lot of Hispanic countries that do actually have a better grasp of the digital age than we do. I was just talking to a superintendent in Belize, and Belize may not have a lot of money, but they invest a lot of money in technology. All of their schools have iPads and computers and things of that nature. They've invested a lot of money in technology for that younger generation. And so I think I'm so glad you brought that up, that is something that the Hispanic culture is definitely moving into at a much faster rate even than the English market.
Yeah, for good or for bad, I must say, we love our devices.
Yeah.
I'm kind of old fashioned, and I try to combine. My tendency actually is being more analog than digital. But yeah, like for younger people, love their smartphones, and they spend quite a time, over them.
Absolutely, absolutely. The other thing that I want to talk about is, and I don't know if you have any information on this, when I was involved in the Hispanic market, and this is back many, many years ago, I wouldn't say 20 plus years ago, credit wasn't a big thing, meaning in a lot of Hispanic countries, they don't have a credit system the way we do here in America. And so a lot of Hispanics come over and they're not used to having credit cards and things of that nature. And so do you have any information about that? Is that changing now?
You're very right. I mean, the credit here is huge. I remember when I moved here several years ago, and I, you know, tried to apply to a couple of credit cards and were denied. And that's part of the American culture. If you need to have some credit, like historial, right? History and credit in order to get more credit. But then if you don't have any credit and nobody gives you credit, how are you going to start a credit, right? So it's something, I would say this is a message more for the Hispanic population, that it's important here in America to start creating some credit history, even if you don't need to, because that's the thing. We are very used to, in our Latin American countries, to pay with cash, or, you know, like we have this idea about, or myth probably, that debt is not good. And I guess overall it's not so good, right? But there are good debts as well, right? So it's important, even if you don't need to get this debt, to start with something, maybe just a device, or, you know, a little kitchen appliance, and get that, open up that credit line and paying on time, so you are creating this credit history and able to perhaps have a more smart financial practice
profile
while living here.
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk about this. If I am a professional service, let's say I am a law firm, you know, we mentioned doctor, maybe I'm a consultant, or let's say even a plumber or something like that, and I want to start getting into the Hispanic market. What's the best way to start reaching that Hispanic market? Is it going to be TV? Is it going to be radio? Is it going to be pay-per-click ads? What do you suggest people get started with?
Okay, well, there is no like quick recipe that fits all the business. It's very important to keep in mind their goals, the geographic zone, the budget, and all that. But what I advise to my clients, that before going into any marketing effort, any spending money on any marketing campaign, you need to get Hispanic ready first. That's what I like to call it. You need to get Hispanic ready. And what I mean by getting Hispanic ready is, for instance, if you have a practice, do you have any educational brochures in Spanish? Do you have, if you're a doctor or dentist or chiropractor, do you have your patient forms bilingual? Do you have a signage outside that says, you know, so all these little details that helps you to get Hispanic ready first. And for instance, do you have an employee that is bilingual? If not, start to recruit someone, you know, at least in a part-time basis. And you can, once you get Hispanic ready, you know, creating your material bilingual or in Spanish, your signage, having someone who is bilingual, getting a website in Spanish as well is very, very crucial. You don't have to have exactly the same big website that your business is already, that your business has already up and running, perhaps only a landing page in Spanish, but something that is consistent with the culture, with the adaptation, and with the language. And once you have all these elements, you know, Hispanic ready, then creating a campaign, and again, depending on the budget, goals, geographic zone, and all that, you can do, you know, either Google or Facebook or postcards and direct response mail and print and radio or television. There are like a bunch of things, just like in the general market. But don't go out and spend your money with this marketing tool without getting your business at least basically Hispanic ready first. That would be my advice.
I love that. Getting Hispanic ready first. That is great advice. Don't just go out there and start a campaign until you're ready. And that totally makes sense. And I like what you said, you know, maybe you don't need a full-blown website. You know, there's, I know that there's some software out there that that will translate your website into Spanish. And sometimes, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that translation isn't perfect. So sometimes it's nice to have somebody come in and like Nidia says, create a landing page so you can communicate in their language and make sure that it's translated correctly, because I've seen both in both ways. I've seen, good companies trying to attract the Spanish market and their translation is off. And I've seen it the other way around too, where Hispanic companies are trying to attract English-speaking clients and their translation is off. And it's just normal. But bottom line is, I love this idea of getting Hispanic ready. Make sure that you have some of your materials already in Spanish. You have a website or a web page that's in Spanish, that you have somebody who maybe can answer your phone who speaks Spanish. These things are important, because otherwise you're just going to throw money away. So good suggestion. Good tips.
Totally. And back to what you just said about the translation. Yeah, it may, because some people, you know, aim to reach the Hispanic market. They just use Google Translate and put the message over there, not being aware of the huge, sometimes horrible mistakes that are written in these marketing pieces. And I'll be talking just, you know, from my very personal point of view. Sometimes I feel like offended, like, wow, what do you really, are you really aware of what you just wrote? You know, it's like, it doesn't take much to hire a native Spanish speaker person, a professional who can help you at least to do the proofreading. You know, that once, maybe you translate the gross part, but there is a process when translating a document, and, you know, like the proofreading and the editing and the adaptation. And yeah, and it's not only that, but also the pictures, you know, the images that you are considering in this website or marketing piece also matters. So please, because if you go and do this rough translation and it's not even well done, it may hurt you more than benefit you, just for this effect that could, have in among the Hispanic community. We're very proud of our culture and language, so please write it the way it should be.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And it only makes sense. Just like, you know what, again, if you are an American English-speaking person and you go to another country and the translation in English is bad, you know, you don't appreciate it as much. It's just something that it's a human nature kind of a thing. But bottom line is, today, the tips that you've given today, Nidia, have been fantastic. I mean, I love the idea of getting Hispanic ready, and what a great way to start thinking about, getting ready for the market, getting ready to tap into this $1.5 trillion market. And, you know, if if somebody has questions, Nidia, and they want to talk to you about reaching the Hispanic market, is there a website that they can go to?
Yeah, there are two easy ways to reach out to me and also to have access to some free resources. It's basically the same website under two names, just like my name, NidiaMonarres.com, and it's NYDIA. And then Monarres, MONARREZ.com. Or you can also go to HispanicMarketStrategies.com. There is a guide, a Hispanic guide that I recently wrote that is full of tips and you know, good advice in terms of the targeting the Hispanic market. You can request that guide, and I'll be happy to send it to you for free. There is an interview there in the website as well. And, yeah, there are a couple of things that you could take for free.
I love it. I love it. This is, again, let me give out the website, HispanicMarketingStrategies.com.
No, thank you for mentioning it. And there was a confusion just recently in another publication. It's Hispanic market strategies. No marketing, but market. Hispanic market strategies.
Hispanic. I'm gonna put this in the show notes, everybody. So if you want to come back and look at it, Hispanic market strategies.com. Strategies plural. Hispanic market strategies.com. Or her name, NYDIA Moneres, MONARREZ. Yep, easy.com. And both of these websites will be available on the show notes. And they more or less, I think they lead to the same place, I think, is what you said. So HispanicMarketStrategies.com might be easier for some people to remember. If you're bilingual or Hispanic, Nidia Moneres might be easier to remember.com. And Nidia Moneres, it's been a lot of fun getting to know you and getting to know how to penetrate the Hispanic market. It's been great having you on the show. Looking forward to bringing you back.
Thank you, Bill. It was my pleasure.
All righty. Good stuff there from Nidia Moneres, HispanicMarketStrategies.com. And, you know, a lot of great information on how to reach this $1.5 trillion market. And, you know, we covered a lot. We covered the idea of getting Hispanic ready. We covered the idea of having these cultural adaptations, not just translating in their language, which of course is paramount, but being aware of some of the things that is solely an American thing, this idea of credit or credit cards, the idea of couponing, even though, as Nidia said, Hispanics are becoming more and more aware of it, in most Latin countries, couponing doesn't exist. I want to say that just a few years ago, there was a young lady that I was working with, and she was from Guatemala. And Guatemala, I think this is like, and correct me, you know, and I could be wrong, it might be 5, 7, 10 years, just started allowing their citizens to access a mortgage type of loan service. So before, in Guatemala, if you wanted to buy a house, you either had to make an arrangement with the person who owned the house currently, or you had to save up the money and pay for it cash. They did not have a mortgage credit system like we do in America. And so depending on your situation, you know, back to what Nidia was saying, become Hispanic ready. There is a difference between Hispanics from, let's say, Cuba or Guatemala or Mexico or, you know, let's say Peru, you know, Argentina. They have different, not quirks, what I'm looking for. Just they're slightly different, just like an American from New York is going to be slightly different than an American from, you know, the good old South. You know what I'm talking about? So you have to be ready to adapt to the culture that's around you. So, for example, in New Jersey, we have a huge Puerto Rican population. In Texas, there's a huge Mexican population. And again, there's a lot of similarities, but there's enough differences that you would want to know how to adapt to those markets. So getting ready, your culture adaptations, maybe start investigating the Spanish market in your area. Who, you know, where are they? Where is the majority of the Hispanics coming from your area? And that would be easy to find out. And one of the things that I always suggest my clients to do is find out if there is an association. There could be a Hispanic association. There could be an Argentina association. And that kind of starts giving you an idea of what is the target market for you in your city. And there are some demographics information that you can also check into and find out, again, what type of Hispanics are making up your city. And then that will help you get Hispanic ready. If you have questions, you want to reach out to Nidia Monetes, you can go to HispanicMarketStrategies.com or her name, Nidia Monetes, MonarreZ.com. And Nidia, I'm sorry, I should have spelled that too, is Nydia Monetes.com. So HispanicMarketStrategies.com is what I'm going to remember the fastest, easiest, but whatever works for you. You know, I appreciate you stopping by. I hope that the new format of Money for Lunch is giving you more tips and strategies to be able to grow your business and change your life. We appreciate it if you would take the time to share this episode with your friends and families. Let's help as many people as we can. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.